here, we talked about prayer. And I felt like if you was like me, a lot of times you take prayer for granted. And what the lesson was designed to do was to make us to stop and to take the time and to know that, first of all, we need to pray, and we need to realize who we're praying to. Who we're talking to? Well, we know we're talking to the Creator, the one that simply spoke this heart, this world into existence and everything that's in it. And He just spoke it from nothing. And I know that's hard for us to imagine. As a carpenter, I take this and that and the other, and I make something out of it. But the Lord didn't take this, that, and the other. He just spoke it from nothing. So we can't understand that, but that's how great our God is. But that's who you're praying to. And I wanted us to realize that and grasp that, that many times we'll say a prayer in haste, in a hurry, and we just don't stop and take the time to realize who that was. And I'll tell you what, many times it's not from the heart. And, and I look back sometimes at my prayer life and I think, oh my, that wasn't from my heart. And I don't think the Lord has respect to that. I don't think He does. And, you know, a lot of times we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. And it's really good to know what it says in Romans 8 and 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Yes, sir.
In other words, as long as the prayer's from the heart, you're not going to mess it up. It doesn't matter how much you stumble along or how much you just stand in silence because you don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Now, we are privileged to be able to speak to the one that spoke things into existence. We are privileged. And you know what? He speaks back.
Amen.
Now, not in an audible voice. He doesn't speak back, but what does He use? He uses a word. He uses His word. Now, think about that. Many times we pray and we pray and we want answers. And we'd like for God to audibly tell us those answers, wouldn't we not? But He doesn't. He just gives us His word. And in that word, there's an answer to all our questions. Answer to all. But as I think a lot of times we take prayer for granted, I think a lot of time we take the word for granted. I think we do. We assume that that word will always be there and that we'll always have the freedom to read it and to come to listen to it. We assume that. So it's very important that we realize not only in prayer who we're talking to, that we realize whose this word is.
Amen.
And don't take it for granted. You know, my phone, at the end of the week, and yours probably does too, but it'll give you a report on how much time you spend on that thing for each day. And sometimes I look at that report and I'm ashamed that I wasted that much time on that phone instead of spending it in God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. So this evening, I want to start talking about the Word. We've talked about prayer. how we don't want to take it for granted, how we need to stop and realize who we're praying to, and the word's the same way. I don't want us to take it for granted. Did the Jews take the word for granted? Oh, they loved the word. They would put it in a little box and put it on their forehead. I mean, they cherished the word. People in these third world countries who were Christianity is banned, cherish the word and risk their lives to have the word. So I want to start talking about the word. And the word we want to talk about, first of all, is the word doctrine. Is the word doctrine. Now, our pastor read a particular passage this Sunday which prompted this lesson, so I'll give him the credit for that. But now when people hear the word doctrine, they begin to think, that doctrine is that's that deep stuff, that's that hard stuff, that's that stuff we can't really understand. Or they think, well, that, you know, that if you admit doctrine, oh man, that's something them fanatics believe. Or they will say, we don't need doctrine, we just need to love each other. We don't need that old doctrine. Well, let us begin to look at the word doctrine. There's nothing to be scared about it. Not at all. There's nothing to be intimidated by it at all. Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16. I'll be giving you a lot of verses this evening. And again, I've got them already copied down, so I don't have to look them up. So I'm going to be a little faster than you. What is doctrine? First question, what is doctrine? Well, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16 tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, as we looked at this, and as I already said, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration means God breathed. This is His Word. And we need to keep that in constant remembrance. This is not some mere human product that someone sat down and wrote up. But this is God's breathed words, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we'll come back to that here in just a little bit. Now, this word doctrine is not only in the New Testament, but this word doctrine is also in the Old Testament. Go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. And beginning at the second verse. Now, we've seen the word doctrine in the New Testament. Now, the Greek, it just simply means to teach. It denotes both the act of teaching and that which is taught. Okay? It's also in the Hebrew. Deuteronomy 32 and 2, it says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and am without iniquity, just and right He is. Yes. It says, His doctrine shall drop as the rain. Now, what does rain do to things? Well, it refreshes it, does it not? This doctrine is going to refresh us. My speech shall distill as the dew falls. Where does it fall? It falls everywhere. It covers everything. His doctrine can cover you. It's as the small rain upon the tender herb. They're tender, so His doctrine will not hurt them, even though they're tender. And as the showers upon the grass. You know, we cut the grass and then it rains. Well, what happens? the grass grows. So his doctrine refreshes, his doctrine covers, his doctrine will not hurt, his doctrine will help us to grow. In the Greek it means, in the Hebrew it means what is received, hence the matter taught. So basically, what does the word doctrine mean? Well, it simply means teaching. Now, is that anything to be afraid of? Well, absolutely not. It's teaching. You have what kind of teaching? Well, then there's where you have to fall back to the subject of the doctrine. Well, if it's of the Bible, then it's Bible doctrine. If it's of baseball, then it's baseball doctrine. If it's of electrician, it's electrician doctrine, pastoring doctrine, etc., etc. It simply means whatever that subject that you're talking about, it's teaching about that subject. So we need not be afraid of it. Now, so if it means teaching, teaching what? Isn't that a logical question? The book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. The book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, please. So we see the word doctrine. The doctrine simply means to teach. Well, teach what? Well, there's two main teachings. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 12. Then understand them how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now Jesus had given them a warning, the disciples, to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they began to understand that he wasn't talking about bread, in which you do put leaven in to make it rise. But he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So this is the teaching. He's talking about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, if you look in the 15th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 15 and 9, it says, "But in vain they do worship me," talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, "but in vain, emptiness, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So this doctrine that Jesus warned them about, who was it of? It was of men. It was of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Though they be very religious, they wasn't teaching God's doctrine, but they were teaching their doctrines. So that's one way you can have doctrine being taught. But that's man's doctrine. You got to look at the subject of the teaching to determine what the teaching is going to be. Mark, the first chapter. So you can see there's doctrine of men. And in Mark, the first chapter and 22nd verse, excuse me. It says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine." They're talking about Jesus in the context. "For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." Now his doctrine was different from the Pharisees and Sadducees. Both were religious, were they not? They were. But yet the doctrine that the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes taught was of men. And that was a false doctrine. But he has doctrine. Where does it come from? Where did it come from? Well, we're going to find out here in just a minute. So doctrine can be of men. Doctrine can be of men, of God, Satan, etc. So you can see you have all this doctrine going around. Again, you don't need to be afraid of it because we got the guide.
That's right.
But you know what? If you don't read the guide, you don't know where to be guided. So we have a guide. So now we want to look at the doctrines of the Bible. We don't want to look at doctrines from the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, which were doctrines of men, but we want to look at the doctrines of the Bible. Now, we want to ask ourselves about these doctrines. First question, where does Bible doctrine come from? Look at John, the 7th chapter. John, the 7th chapter. Where does Bible doctrine come from? John, the 7th chapter, in verse 14, it says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." And taught what? Teaching. "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Where did his doctrines, Jesus' doctrine, come from? Come from God. Where do the scriptures come from? All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It comes from God. Jesus' teachings, his parables, and so forth. Now, they thought he was a deceiver. You can see that in John, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 13. But they thought he was a deceiver. Some thought he was a good man, as it goes on to say, but some say he deceived the people. But his doctrine wasn't of himself. It was God's doctrine. So where does the Bible doctrine come from? Well, it comes from God. Now, how is Bible doctrine taught? Turn back to 2 Timothy 3:16 once again, please. 2 Timothy 3:16. How is Bible doctrine taught? Now, as we have seen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Bearing that in mind, and is profitable for teaching. That word profitable means gives the advantage. It gives us an advantage. This doctrine that comes from God gives us an advantage. It also does what else? It's for reproof. How we're looking at how is Bible doctrine to be taught? It's taught in a way that gives us an advantage. It's taught for reproof. This word reproof means for proof, conviction, evidence. What does the word do? Well, yes, it does present conviction in us, does it not? To the sinner, it will bring him to salvation. And then as a Christian, he will bring it into our lives to help mold our lives into a better place. And it's evidence of that change. You see the evidence. What else is it good for? For correction. That word correction means straightening up again. This word from God, which is a profitable doctrine, which gives us the advantage, straightens us up again. So in other words, it not only straightens us once, but again, and again, and again, and again, and again, as many times you can say that. It's always working in our lives to straighten us up. That gives us an advantage. That gives us conviction. That gives us evidence. What else? It's taught for instruction. That word means to chasten, educate, and training. That's what the word does. It chastens us, it educates us, and it trains us in what? In righteousness. That righteousness means our character as a Christian. So this doctrine, biblical doctrine, is taught, it's given by God, and it's given to us as an advantage to us to help us in all these different ways. What else? Another question. What is the nature of Bible doctrine? Turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 3, please. First Timothy 6 and 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. What is the nature of Bible doctrine? Well, that wholesome up there, it says wholesome words. It means to be healthy, well, uncorrupted. Now, isn't that not a benefit of doctrine?
Yes,
it makes you healthy, well, and uncorrupted. And it's according to what? Godliness.
Amen.
Godliness. That's its nature. Bible doctrine isn't bad in any way, shape, or form. People make it out to be bad, something that we need to get away from. But no, it's healthy. It's well to us. It's godliness. What else? Another question. 1 Timothy, the 1st chapter, please. What is Bible doctrine going to say about immorality? What is Bible doctrine going to say about immorality? Well, it's going to condemn sin. 1 Timothy, the 1st chapter, and verse 9, it says, knowing this, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers and murderers or mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is what? Contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Bible doctrine is going to condemn sin. It's going to condemn sin. What else? We must move on. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Well, wait a minute. I missed one here. I don't want to miss this one. It's what happens when you try to rush. 2 John, 1st chapter. I think we were all right. 2 John 1:9. The question is, how is Bible doctrine going to affect our fellowship? How is Bible doctrine going to affect our fellowship? 2 John, the 1st chapter, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. To abide in the doctrine of Christ, to abide in the gospel, is to have God. But if you don't, then you don't have God. Pretty plain and clear. There's no fence straddling. You either are or aren't, if that's proper English. So fellowship, it affects fellowship. Now what else? I'm sorry, now 1 Timothy 4, 6. It affects ministers. What should a minister be nourished up in? 1 Timothy 4 and 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. If you want to get nourished, you got to get in the Word. Pastor gets in the Word, he gets nourished, and then he what? He gives us the Word, and we get nourished. Bible doctrine is nourishing.
That's right.
Go ahead and turn. Let's see here. 1 Timothy 4:13. What should they attend to as a pastor? It says, till I come. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, a young pastor, get it in the context. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That's to be attended to. It's not something to be overlooked. It's something not to shy away from. That's something to be attended to. Give attendance to it. Pastor needs to read it, exhort it, give it to us. What? Doctrine. Why? Why should he do that? 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto yourself, thyself, and to thy doctrine. Continue in them. Why? For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It has a chain effect. What else? As a pastor, Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. He's to hold fast to that. Holding fast to that, teaching that to the congregation. Holding fast to that. What should they speak of? Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. To do what? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Hey. Nourish, attend, hold fast, speak of, as a pastor does that and delivers that to the congregation, and as the congregation does that, then you begin to grow as a church.
Yes, sir.
Bible doctrine. As a Christian. Romans the 6th chapter. As we talked about prayer, it's very imperative that we pray from the heart. The same way with doctrine. Romans the 6th chapter and verse 17 says, but God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. How did they obey? From the heart. It's not a mere mouthing of the doctrines, but it's a cherishing of the heart. Verse 18, being they then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness, and I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, because from the heart doctrine was received and taken in, verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So from the heart, Bible doctrine is God's Word. And from our heart, we need to receive it, accept it in salvation. And then after salvation, we need to be taught it and cherish it. Acts, the second chapter. And once then, we need to abide in it. This is the verse our pastor used, which prompted this thought of mine. We need to abide in it. Acts, the second chapter, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." 3,000 souls were saved. What did they do? They gladly received the doctrine of gospel. They received that. And then they followed. They didn't just stop there. They kept abiding in it, and they were added into that church. And they didn't stop there. They continued in the doctrine and in learning and in the growing in that doctrine and the fellowship of the believers. Then they didn't stop there. They continued in. They went on to the breaking of bread and doing the Lord's Supper. And then they didn't stop there. They continued right on into prayers. They continued, or they abided in the doctrine, which is simply Bible teaching. And what does that do? When you are doing those things, Titus, the second chapter and verse 10. Titus 2:10 tells us, "Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." To adorn, to put it on. Not just hear it, but receive it, believe it in the heart, have convictions about it for yourself in your heart, learn it yourself. Well, wait a minute, let me get the pastor. He knows all about that. No, we need to know that. We need to know the doctrines. We need to strive it, put it in our lives. We need to put it on ourselves. In some things, no, it says all things. All things. Every aspect of our life, at work, at home, at church, at the store, the post office, wherever it may be, we need to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And John 7:17 tells us, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." If any man will do his will, what has he exhorted us to do? From the heart, to believe his word. He wants us to believe him. God wants us to simply believe what he says. And he wants us to put it on. Yes. That we may know of the doctrine. Gives us wisdom. You want wisdom? Get into his word. Get into Bible doctrine. And he'll give it to you. So doctrine according to the scripture is very important. Very, very important. Last point. But you know that there will be those that say today, "Let's forget about doctrine. Let's just join in all together and love each other and set those doctrines aside." Is that biblical? No. They oppose it. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, And verse 3 tells us, now the Lord takes this serious. I think we should too. 1 Timothy 6 and 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputes of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What's it tell us to do? From such withdraw thyself. Remind me to say a point, because I want to say it now, but I don't. I need to say it at the end. Don't receive 2 John 1 chapter verse 10. 2 John 1:10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. Now in these verses we have been told to withdraw ourselves. We are told not to bid them Godspeed. We are told to avoid them. Now, we need to do that in a proper manner. I'm not any better than they.
That's true.
Only know what I know because of God's grace and mercy.
Yes.
Withdraw yourself means not to take part in what their doctrine is. It's not to say, yeah, well, okay, that's all right. You believe that, you're okay. No, they're not okay. But again, we don't lift ourselves up above them. Yes, we don't partake in their wrongful doctrine. We don't do that. We don't support that. We don't say, yeah, they'll be all right. No, we make a stand. And we say, no, it's not right. But in a loving, caring, understanding, again, it's only because of God's grace that we are who we are. And understand what we understand. So, doctrine. We must wrap it up here. Doctrine is something we don't need to be afraid of. It's simply Bible teaching. And the Bible is God's Word. God's Word. Hey, it's not going to lead us astray. Man's going to lead you astray in his doctrine. Man's going to give you a lot of false ideas in his doctrine. Man's going to uplift himself in his doctrine. And that's not grace.
That's right.
So, as with me, I hope that we see a greater care, I could say, for his word, and that we don't take it for granted.
Amen.
That we cherish it. Again, you know, we have the freedom today in America today to open this book.
Yeah.
And it may come a day that we won't. So we need to cherish it. We need to stand for it. We need to adorn ourselves in, I like that, adorn ourselves in the word. And then because when we adorn ourselves, they see Christ.
That's right.
We don't want them to see us. We want them to see Christ.
Amen.
So we can lead them to Christ.
Yes, sir.
All right, how about shut up? We'll turn back over to the pastor. Oh, okay. Well, let's all stand.
We'll pay a little extra.
A little extra for the closeout? Appreciate your attention.